Grace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I extend blessings and praise to each and every person here today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we are keeping all of our young people as well as the middle schoolers and children in service. As our men are passing out Bibles, please make sure that everyone has their notes. And Miss Heather, Brother Ivan, if you guys would please check the notes in the bulletins after the service for the children having taken their notes. What a great day it has been to be in the house of the Lord. Today we come to part three in our series, and I believe firmly that this may be the most important message that I have ever given as the pastor at Living Hope Church. Today is part three, Do All Roads Lead to Heaven? We look around our country, we look around the world at the things that are happening, and it seems as if the world, our country, our people, and our leaders have forgotten God. It's as if they believe that they can live any way they want and still not be held accountable for those things. When it comes to the afterlife, well, wait, that's a bad choice of words for a Christian. When it comes to a better place, I'm sorry, that's a bad word, bad way to frame that for anybody. When it comes to the subject of heaven, of God's heaven, today's passage, which is a central passage of what we believe and teach at Living Hope Church, today's passage makes what I believe is the most astounding claim in all of history. Please find your way in the Word of God to John chapter 14 and verse 6. And if you have your Bibles, or your whether it's in printed or digital format all over the sanctuary, please hold them up above your head. Let's see those Bibles all over the sanctuary. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's passage, John 14, 6, reading from the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is an astounding passage. This is an amazing passage. There are so many people that believe that their Aunt Petunia was a wonderful person and somehow she has made it to heaven. Or my Uncle Charles was a wonderful guy. He did a lot of good deeds. Therefore, he has made it to heaven. But this claim by the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And he basically what he is saying is, and no one. I looked at that term in the Greek. I look in the original languages. I look at the whole meaning of that phrase. And here's what it means. No one. No one comes to the Father except through me. This instantly excludes all other ideas of going to heaven. And while this is a simply amazing statement about eternity, it must be taken within context. Far too many preachers don't preach the passages that they choose each week in context. In context means look at what has been said immediately before and following this particular statement. Look at verse 1 in John chapter 14. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. I read, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, Jesus says, in the same way that you believe in God, believe in me. In other words, he is ascribing the full deity of God to himself. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus clearly says that God himself is his actual Father. That God has a residence. And in that residence, Jesus is headed there. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Who's looking forward to that? Who's looking forward to the Lord Jesus coming back? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 3, Jesus states the purpose of Him going is to prepare a place for us. And that He is coming back for one reason, for us. He's coming back for us. He's going to prepare. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. But Jesus Christ has been gone 2,000 years to prepare a place for us. How magnificent do you think that is going to be? How wonderful is that going to be? As we get to heaven and we see all things made new, all things as they were designed to be seen. I think nothing blesses our heart as when we see a newborn baby. Amen? There's just something about what God has done in this newborn baby. You know, and we had a young lady that sang on our praise team, Laura. She since became married and then they moved away. But Miss Margaret right over here, nice, sweet lady over here, is a grandma for the second time today. So everybody make sure you see her after service and get pictures, because this is an adorable baby. Of course, with Miss Margaret as the grandmother and Laura as the mother, it was like a no way to miss on this. Look at verse 4, continuing in the Word of God. And where I go, you know. Listen closely to what it's saying. Jesus says, where I go, you know. He's talking to the disciples. And the way, you know. In other words, you know where I'm going and you know how to get there. Apparently, this is news to the disciples. Look at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? In other words, doubting Thomas, the guy who's bold enough to speak out for the group, because no one rebukes him, doubting Thomas simply says what everyone else is thinking. And this is how it goes. Huh? Jesus, we don't know where you're going. And we certainly don't know how to get there. Which is where Jesus says again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are such incredible words. If we simply remembered that, if we simply remembered that Jesus Christ came for one purpose, to heal the rift between God and man, and that through Jesus Christ, God's grace rains down. And how does God's grace rain down? It rains down through His people. We are to be the instrument of grace in this world. Young people, when you go to school and people are mean or they're bullies or they say the wrong thing or you're astounded by how some other children may act in school, you are to extend grace and say, this person must not know who Jesus Christ is. Let me share what God has done for me. Middle schoolers, high schoolers, young people, when you go somewhere and you see how people act, the way that people talk, then you must say, I must be God's instrument of grace in this situation. Let me share what God has done for me. Young men, you are to be gentlemen toward the young ladies. You do not extend grace when you act inappropriately toward young ladies. Young ladies, when you are going in the areas where you're going, make sure that you understand what goes on in a man's mind when you present yourself in a certain way. But if he does something inappropriate or acts inappropriately, this is the moment where grace should get a little power and a little force behind it. I want you to reach back behind you with your right hand, bring it up sharply to his face, and see if you can make his left ear meet his right ear. And say, you obviously don't know Jesus Christ that well. Let me explain to you what God has done for me. You have acted inappropriately in this circumstance, but I forgive you, and let me share Jesus Christ with you. Thomas says, We don't know where you are going, and we don't know how to get there. Now remember, Jesus has been with these guys for 3.5 years, church. He's been with them for 3.5 years. And while the Bible is absolutely perfect in all of its ways, absolutely inerrant, without the slightest trace of error, that it is God-breathed, that the Scripture does not contain the Word of God, but the Scripture is the Word of God, it is not always exhaustive in its details of what happens next. What do I mean? Well, we do know this, that Jesus is gentle and loving and kind and full of grace. He is the Good Shepherd. But He is still God. He is still King Jesus. And the disciples have forgotten that. Humanly speaking, if this were one of us, if we were Jesus, this might be the point where we slap our foreheads and say, Thomas, were you guys sleeping in chapel? Do you not remember the blind were given sight? Do you not remember the lame walking? Do you not remember the deaf able to hear? Do you not remember the lepers cleansed and presented to the priest? Do you not remember the demons cast out? What about turning the water into wine? You guys seemed pretty happy about that night. Do you not remember me calming the Sea of Galilee with these simple words, peace, be still. As in, be still and know that I am God. As in, I am the Lord thy God. You shall have none other gods before you. There are none like me. Do you not remember the dead I've raised to life? Thomas, speaking on the authority of the hundreds of prophecies that I have fulfilled, born of the seed of a virgin woman, in the nation of Israel of the tribe of Judah, into the house, the genealogy of David, in the town of Bethlehem, where wise men would bring gifts, foretold that I would live a sinless life and that I would perform many miracles based on these prophecies fulfilled in me. Therefore, I declare to you, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that's what I would have done. But Jesus is a remarkably good sport. And Jesus is so much nicer than me. He is reassuring the disciples in verse 6 that everything will be all right. That there's an eternal provision that has been made for all believers. By all believers, that means you, if you've ever received Jesus Christ as Lord. But you must believe in Him. You must. Over the first 2 weeks of this series, we've already made a case for God. We've made the case that the Bible is reliable and true. And today we're going to talk about heaven. Now, I want you guys to understand, we're going to talk about how to get to heaven. The final message in this series is going to be about heaven. And the way that it's looking right now, this series may kick straight into another series about heaven. I'm not going to cover heaven in one message. Not going to happen. I'm excited about going there, amen? You know, what's the old saying? Apart from the rapture, we all want to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go today. And all God's people said. So, I'm not going to burden you today, but we're going to talk about how to get to heaven. I'm not going to burden you with a lot of information about what the Buddhists believe, what the atheists think. I'm not going to go into what the Hindus believe or whatever. Why not? Why do I not cover those things? How many of you guys have ever heard of the Secret Service for the President of the United States? Amen. I see some folks are awake back there. How many of you have ever heard of the Secret Service? Try that again. Amen. All right. The Secret Service is part of the Treasury Department. They are also responsible for tracking down counterfeit money. Here's a secret. You guys ready for this? This is so interesting. Did you know that they never, ever, ever study counterfeit money? They don't. They simply study the real material. They study the real money. Therefore, they study the real money so well, they instantly recognize the counterfeit. And that's what we do here at Living Hope Church. We preach the real deal. You know what? It's not our job to go convince people of a bunch of facts and figures about what it is that they believe in. It is simply our job to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. To share with people what God has done for us. So now we're going to look at this remarkable verse because in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again, I'm going to say this many times through today's message, there is only one way, there is only one truth, and there is only one life. And it is found in Christ and Christ alone. I love when we sing that song, in Christ alone. In Christ alone are these things found. Of course, these are exclusive words. These are specific words, and it gets everybody all upset. You Christians are so narrow-minded. Well, actually, no, we're not. We didn't say this. We simply believe that the Bible is reliable and it is truthful and that we can believe what God has said. Amen? People ask, is this really saying that He, Jesus Christ, is the one and only means by which men and women have any hope of getting to heaven? Isn't that awfully narrow-minded? Isn't that terribly exclusive? I don't know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The answer is that it is both of those things, by the way. Yes, it is narrow-minded. Yes, it is an exclusive statement. But it is exactly what we need as Christians. It's exactly what we need. It tells us how to get to heaven. And it's our means to reach to heaven. I have three very simple points today. Very straightforward points. But first, let me answer the basic question of this week's message title. Do all roads lead to heaven? Church, what can we say to that? No. There is one way to heaven. Why would I say that? Because Jesus said so. Let's look at our first point today. Our first point today is that salvation is found in the way of Christ. Jesus says, I am the way. Salvation is found in the way of Christ. You know, at least one disciple gets it. One disciple totally gets this. Peter, believe it or not. Mr. Peter, who always had a bad case of foot and mouth disease. But he totally gets it. And after Peter's first sermon, Peter gets arrested. What a blessing that must have been, huh? Go out and give your first sermon and they haul you off to jail. Sometimes I wonder how many preachers we'd have around if that were still the norm. I wonder how many preachers are bold enough to stand up and declare the truth of God's Word. To declare that Christ is the only way. To declare that abortion is murder. That it is absolutely wrong. That marriage is between one man and one woman. And that is simply the truth of God's Word. I didn't write that. I didn't declare that. God declares that. Abortion is murder. In Psalm 139, what does Psalm 139 say? God says, I formed you in your mother's womb. Children, young people, God made you. When you were rumbling around in there, God did that. God Himself formed you. Whatever you may read elsewhere, the truth of Scripture declares that. But listen to what Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. You can write that in your margins. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. This is Peter, and this is what he tells all the religious people and all the stuffed shirts in the church. All right? He says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but the man Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Peter is saying that at the name of Jesus, it is the only way that humanity can be sound, can be saved. Peter echoes what Christ said in today's passage. Think of it this way, friends. To get to heaven means, pay close attention, to get to heaven means that you will go directly into the presence of a holy God. Directly into a presence of a holy God. God is holy. And if there's anything that I've learned in my life, it's that God is incredibly, incredibly holy, and I am incredibly not. for the hurricane this week, and I'm so glad that, our folks came through here. I was reaching out to our, Haitian and our Jamaican friends and members of our church, and reaching out to make sure that their families were able to be contacted. We're in such prayer over that. But Miss Ruth Ann drove up to be with my daughter and her family on Thursday morning. And I had 72 hours home alone. I turned off the TV. I went to my office. I opened the Word of God. And I spent time with the Lord. And I become more convinced than anything else that He is holy. And the truth of His Word is magnificent. And we will never come to know all about God the Father. Isn't that good? People say, well, you can't explain God. No, I can't. Well, how can you believe in Him? I can believe in Him because I cannot explain everything about God. If I could explain everything about God, He would not be God. Amen? Amen? And so, to go to heaven means to go into the presence of God. To be in the presence of God, you must be in right standing. You must be righteous. You must be sanctified. You must be justified. You must be sinless in His eyes. You must be holy. In other words, you must be saved through the way of Christ from your old sin nature. Listen, guys, think for just a moment. Jesus says, I am the way. There's a difference between pointing the way to a particular place and taking someone by the hand and bringing them. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what He does. He takes you by the hand and He escorts you into heaven, into the presence of Almighty God. You see, a person who guides another person to a destination literally becomes the way. So Jesus Christ not only points out and tells us how to walk through life and how to reach God, we know that salvation is found in the way of Christ. Our second verse today, point today. Revelation is found in the truth of Jesus Christ. Revelation is found in the truth of Christ. I have three sub-points here. You can mark them in your margin if you find room there. First sub-point on Revelation is found in the truth of Christ is that Jesus Christ is the embodiment. He completely embodies, He completely envelops the concept of truth. Truth is truth. Period. It's not my version of truth. It is truth. God not only talks to man about Himself, but God shows man what He is like in the person of Jesus Christ. God shows the truth of Himself. Man can look at Jesus Christ and see a perfect picture of the embodiment of the truth of God. Not only is He the embodiment of the truth, but He is also the communicator of the truth of God. His person, Jesus Christ's person, Jesus Christ's lives makes things perfectly clear. Jesus Christ reveals the ultimate meaning. He reveals the end of all things while revealing the truth about man. While revealing the truth about the world that we live in. We live in a fallen world. Just watch the news these past few weeks. What a fallen world we live. But Jesus Christ shows a man the right way to the truth. And He enables man to choose the right way. He says, you must choose Me. You must choose Me. So Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Jesus is the communicator of truth. But Jesus is also the liberator of truth. The liberator of truth. He sets men free from that great distance that separates us from God. He sets us free from the gulf between us and the world. He sets us free in the gulf between us and our fellow man. When we see how the world is in its corrupt way, we know things are going to get better because Jesus is coming back. When we see the corrupt ways of man, and we pray for them, because why? Because they don't know Jesus. We extend grace into their lives. They don't know the things that they've said to you or around you in school are terrible. They don't know the things that they have tried to do to you on a date are terrible. We must extend the grace of God to them. to heal that gulf. That's what Jesus Christ does. Knowing the truth of Jesus Christ frees us from all of our fears. It frees us from all of our weaknesses. It makes us be able to be bold and declare, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Jesus Christ is the one and only lasting liberator on earth because He is truth and He sets us free. He sets us free to be children of God. He sets us free to be servants of God. And He sets us free to go into the presence of God whenever we want. We don't have to go to a priest with our confess our sins. I can talk to God myself and I say, God, I have sinned against You. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And He says, You must accept My Son. I received Jesus Christ. Please forgive me, Father. So we saw that salvation is found in the way of Christ. Revelation is found in the truth of Christ. And finally, we see that justification is found in the life of Jesus Christ. Folks, there is a difference between telling someone about life and actually living life. Living life to the fullest. Christians should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Christians should be the most gracious and generous and loving people on the face of the earth. You see, the one who lives is the one who possesses life. And the more perfect one lives, the more life one possesses. But Jesus Christ lived perfectly, therefore He possesses life perfectly. And if you are in Jesus Christ, you do as well. You are going to live forever with God in His heaven. Amen? So where does that bring to us on the question of getting a heaven? Once again, do all roads lead to heaven? Not according to John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Friends, this is a take it and live it or leave it and die decision point. There is no middle ground on this statement. There's no skipping around the truth here. And while this is the greatest passage on this in the Scripture, it's not the greatest question in Scripture. If you'll flip over to chapter 11, same book of John, John chapter 11, look at verses 25 through 26. John 11, 25 and 26. If you're there, please say, Amen. Amen. The introduction to this is that Lazarus has died. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. Jesus waited 4 days before He showed up and He died. And they're wondering where He's been. Why didn't He get here? If you'd come sooner, He would still be alive. And Jesus tells them, your brother will rise again. And they said, yes, in the resurrection, He will rise. But look at what Jesus says. Listen to these wonderful words. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though they may die, shall live. Here's the greatest question ever asked. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? That is the resounding question through the ages. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? There is no other question. There is no other statement that's more important into our lives. For those of you within this sanctuary, if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, I invite you to do that today. You must receive Him. If you're watching on the internet, we'll walk through the gospel at our invitation today. I'm going to ask that the camera stays on while we do that today. So that you will know the proper way to receive Jesus Christ. But while we're on the subject, let's ask this. What is heaven? Everybody wants to go there. But what is heaven? Why would we want to go to heaven? Now, without going into all the things I'm going to discuss in the next few weeks, here is the definitive answer. Heaven is a place in the presence of God Himself where we will live forever. Can you imagine that? You know, at some point, if Jesus doesn't come first, we will all pass away. And Scripture says to be absent in the body is to be present in the Lord. Amen? Now picture this. I've said it many times that when God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and He formed him, and He breathed life into his nostrils, and Adam came to life, and when he opened his eyes, the first thing he ever saw was the face of his God. When you die and you come into the presence of God and you close your eyes here on earth and you open them instantly in heaven to see your heavenly Father, you will have that same experience of awe that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. Doesn't that sound like great news? Isn't that going to be an incredible thing? And to see the Son standing there and saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servants." Heaven is a place where we will have meaningful responsibilities. You think you're just going to hang out for eternity doing nothing? We're going to have responsibilities. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. Heaven is a place where you will have full knowledge of ourselves and growing full knowledge of God. We'll know as much about God as we are able to absorb without being incinerated by His holiness. Listen to what the Bible says about those who have trusted in Christ to get to heaven. Mark this in your margin. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. If you're ready, say amen. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That is such great news. No more crying, no more death, no more sorrow. But are you ready for your nugget today? I like to give a nugget every single week. Of all the religions in the world, Christianity alone is unique in that it is the only religion that declares that God did the work. God did the work. There is simply nothing for us to do but accept the free gift of salvation bought for us by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. We don't need to do anything but receive it. It's a gift. Think about it this way. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, animism all teach that there are certain things that you must do in order to attain their version of the positive afterlife. In contrast, Christianity teaches that there's nothing that we can do, that it's already been done. All you have to do is accept it. So what keeps people out of heaven? In a word, sin. Sin means missing the mark. Well, who sins? Well, if you look up on the screen, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all, okay, everybody in the sanctuary, if you're a sinner, hold up your hand. The rest of you fibbers can talk to you afterwards. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Listen, friends, we've all sinned. And it consigns us to biblical death, separation from God in the lake of fire. But there is a way out, and it's the gift called salvation. And Jesus said, well, let me back up a second. What is the penalty for sin? If you look on the screen, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift called salvation. And Jesus said He would give it to anyone who believed and received Him. The Bible's exact words on this are "believe and receive." That's the original text. Believe and receive. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as," what? "Received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." At the name of Jesus is the only way to be saved. The children of God receive an eternal gift. This eternal gift is available to everyone, and it's free because it's already been paid for. How long is this guarantee good for? Well, what John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but shall have eternal life." Eternal life in the presence of God. It's available to everyone. It's free because it's been paid for. You simply must receive it. Guys, listen. This is very important. Because Jesus Christ is a gentleman, God will not force you to receive salvation. Salvation is a free will, deliberate decision on every single person's part, individually. Salvation isn't acquired because you came to heaven, came to church today, or you've been in church all your life with your mom and dad. Salvation isn't passed down because your parents are saved. You cannot inherit it through your parents. Salvation is not acquired because you've done a good bunch of good works or given money to the church. That is not how salvation is acquired. How do we receive salvation? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto the Lord. How do you receive it? You simply say, I receive you, Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus Christ. When can this happen? Right now. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. I cannot think of a better verse to end today's message with than the passage we started with. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So church, do all roads lead to heaven? Absolutely not. I end this message as I began it. Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.